Agent Ravage, log date 7. I have located the time stream that has been tampered. Now to isolate the issue at hand, I have picked up a Cybertronian broadcast to Earth. Perhaps Tunian will provide clues.
Commencing. Operation. Association.
Please let me do the intro.
Let me finish. In today's comics, we will find out that allegiances can change on a whim.
Oh, shiny! What does this button do?
No, wait. Don't touch that.
Sorry, okay, I'll listen. Oh, is that a new scratch on the back of my hands?
I'm beginning to miss my previous flashback intern. His stupidity compared to yours own makes him look like a below average human.
Who?
Kyle. I'll tell you during the show. Now, listeners, let's tune in and discover more on what these comics have to offer.
Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. New season, new continuity. That's right, we're continuing with season 5. Big wow. We are going to dive into the events of Transformers IDW Beast Wars 2021 continuity. That's a lot of years for, what does this take place on Earth? Anyway, I'm Onyx Prime, and with me are my fabulous co-hosts.
Hi, I'm Kilobyte.
And I'm Clickbait.
And I'm Lapis.
Moving on with our comic discussion, for today's episode takes us to IDW Beast Wars issues number 7 through 12, or also known as Volume 2. And as always, spoiler warning, so if you haven't read it already, what are you doing? We highly recommend you go back, read it, then come listen to the podcast. With that, Lapis, would you mind giving us the facts? And Clickbait, do you mind giving us the trivia?
Absolutely. So, for our facts for today, there is a total of 6 comics, and issue 7 was released in August 25th of 2021, and issue 12 was released on January 26th of 2022. We have, you know, about of a less than a year gap there. Our writer for this is going to be Eric Burnham, and our artist is Winston Chang and Josh Burcham, with colors by Sid Van Blue, who is super cool and I've worked with before. And she does a phenomenal job.
And now it's time for trivia, one of my favorite parts of the episode. Getting started, in issue 7, Pterosaur notes that Scold is strong enough to damage solid duranium, a fictional metal from Trekstar. Oh, wait, no, that's backwards again. Star Trek. Damn it, Onyx. Anyways, issue 1, originally, instead of using Razor Beast to fill the role of befriending Scold, they intended on using Moon, a small yellow android bunny transformer from the Japanese original Beast Wars 2 comics, but Hasbro decided against using them. Issue 11, we see a pose by Megatron that seems to be inspired by the ending scene of Jurassic Park, when dinosaurs ruled the Earth. Life does find a way. And most notably, and unfortunately, in issue 12, editor David Marriott teased the possibility of doing a crossover with these Beast Wars comics with the ongoing 2019 IDW comic series. However, this series never made it to publication due to the license expiring in late 2022, where the crossover would have been released by. And can someone please prove time and don't let Onyx do it all by himself?
Rude, first off. Second, Kilobyte, do you mind giving us summaries?
And do. A crashed stasis pod releases a dangerous new Cybertronian with the potential to tip the Beast Wars in favor of the Predacons. And as always, this information has been taken from the wiki.
And special shout out to our Patreons. Thank you so, so, so much.
We appreciate you. Is it the humans do? Heart hands? Heart servos?
Heart heads!
It's heart fingers.
I don't know how you servos. Make a anatomically correct heart with hands, but
it's
I'm
the thought
we
that
can
counts
try.
On it. It's a complex seriously.
Process, yeah.
Don't
how
be
do
so
get
technical.
All 4,
you have to
there,
disconnect
or do you
your
gotta,
fingers and then twist
the
them around like a spaghetti.
Well? Like,
you say human hearts have 4
yeah.
chambers and 2 valves.
The same
which you would know if you'd done your research.
Joke.
Oh, maybe they lose a few and I'm Never mind. Moving on with today's comics. My first note has us with the Maximals and Predacons settling in and figuring out how to work as a team / bully each other. Not cool. Anyway, along came a spider. Thoughts on Black Arachnia and how she is introduced, how she interacts with other characters.
Someone's been laying on the drinks.
Yeah,
just one with refills.
They're strong tonight again.
We need to talk to Swerve about rations.
You leave him out of this.
Anyways, I thought the way that they introduced Black Arachne in this was super interesting. I thought it was cool how they have left the protoforms. They've kept it really true to being a blank slate. And I thought it was super interesting how they started right off the bat with that kind of corruption that usually you see later in the series of that escalation where they start to pick on the protoforms. So I thought it was interesting to see it this early on in a series instead of using Black Arachne as like a pre-established character.
For me, I thought it was a very interesting introduction to Black Arachne's character. I quite liked it, to be honest with you. I remember when I was looking at it for the first time, I was thinking to myself, how in the world are they going to make Black Arachne this Predacon, because as we know, canonically, she starts as a Maximal in both the show and the comics here. And we actually get to see that bit of Maximal Black Arachnia in the beginning, which was really, really cool. I like getting to see her, you know, be who she was before being tampered with. And it was really interesting not having Tarantulas directly there to turn her into that Predacon character that we know. So I really enjoyed that interaction where it was like more of a slow thing where eventually she got the Predacon coding as opposed to right off the bat. I really liked it. And I think that it was a really cool introduction to the character.
Yeah, especially me. I like the Black Arachnia pulling the human meme on Rhinox. Something about, wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
Oh my goodness, yeah, human memes are the best. Have some really funny things. One thing that I did like that I noted in the comics, it was prior to Black Arachnia appearing, was when Dinobot and Primal were sparring in the very beginning of the issue. And in one of the panels, you can see Primal is kind of riling up Dinobot a little bit. And there's this spark beat that's going across the art panel. And it's a very normal, consistent spark beat. And then as Dinobot gets agitated, like you see like a more agitated spark beat. And I thought that was just a really fun note. It's kind of lightly done over the art of Dinobot himself. I thought it was just a really fun note to see in the panel. They're acknowledging that.
Yeah, the sparring was fun because definitely Optimus Primal seems a little bit more cocky.
It's really fun. It's a great take on his character.
Yeah, so I really like that. And then as for Black Arachnia, I thought it was cool that we got such a cool character so early. And so I was like, okay, I can't wait to see more because I know that there's going to be more protoforms going to be raining down and getting new characters. I didn't really see much about the Predacon coding being added to her. I felt like she had it, but she was like part of both because Tarantulas uploaded a code to the protoforms while he was inside of the Maximal ship last issue. And so that's why Black Arachnia came out as a spider out of the pod. And even though she's not like a full servant to Tarantulas, she still doesn't want to be with the Maximals. So like she can access Maximal data, but she's kind of her own person. So
the human phrase, strong, independent woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
That's about right.
Yeah. So, I like that.
Speaking of new protoforms, and Scold to be exact, between Pterosaur, Black Arachnia, she's just getting bullied. But we get a spotlight issue where she finds a new protoform named Razor Beast. How does that end for them, Kilo?
Oh, man. Such a good moment. I love Scold, and I like Razor Beast. I like the design for Razor Beast, but they get attacked by these metallic wolves, and Razor Beast gets injured pretty badly. I'm like, oh wow, they're already gonna kill Razor Beast. But in my mind, I was like, okay, well, this is probably when Scold switches sides and decides to stay, because they create a friendship in the few moments they were together. But she brings Razor Beast back to the Maximal ship And even though Dinobot says, like, oh, see, you can become a Maximal, she shoves him and she's like, no, I'm not going to be, and leaves. So I was a little bit disappointed with that, but I was like, oh, maybe in the future, Razor Beast will try to kind of bring her to this side.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting also, especially because I feel like this series, and even in the series that we went over previously, these series are really taking the time to demonstrate the complexity of individuals in a wartime and how allegiances are very kind of steady. Like, they might waver a little bit, but they're not going to falter. It's going to take a lot for them to change sides. But here on this Earth planet, they don't really have a lot of stake in what's happening right now. It's not like they're on Cybertron and they're fighting for something tangible. Right now, they're just fighting for Megatron's ideal, and it's super cool to kind of see how this is creating a little bit of tension because they don't have something that they can envision to work towards. So you're seeing a lot more of these little character intricacies coming to the surface as they're met with challenges and new relationships and new concepts, and it's a really cool process.
Yeah, no, I definitely have to agree with both of you. I very much like this interaction between Scold and Razor Beast. I like that we have these two. Well, Razor Beast isn't a new character because he was from previous comics and whatnot. So he's been in Beast Wars media previously. But seeing him interact with Scold is really, really a fun dynamic. Very interesting. I like it because it gives us more depth to Scold as a new character. But I also just, I love that the series can manage to have something brand new alongside making old references. Like, you know, they bring back Cheetor's meat gun, which is phenomenal. And
his gun?
Yeah, his guts gun. Yeah. No, I love his meat gun. And then we get this wonderful quote too from Tarantulas of a being after my own black heart, which was a direct quote from the show. So the fact that we're getting this new stuff plus old references is just, I love it. I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like we're looking over one of the most important parts of what has happened so far, and it's the fact that Waspinator has a teddy bear.
I like that he's being treated well right now.
It's so stinking cute and adorable.
There's so many little things that are important. Rat Trap having a buddy that turns into a ship named Box. Or Scorponok has a coach hat.
I was going to mention the coach hat.
I love the coach hat. It's adorable.
And Megatron crushing his rubber ducky. And then we find out later that when Rat Trap is in there, he sees it glued together and band-aid. It's adorable. Megatron does care.
Just a little
for his rubber ducky.
What are your thoughts on Maximals going on the offensive for once?
Oh,
I feel like it was appropriate. It was definitely appropriate for how they were running the story.
Absolutely. And they mirrored one of my favorite episodes from the original show, which was Guerrilla Warfare with the Maximals just throwing hands. So a big, big fan of that. I loved watching Dinobot go toe-to-toe with Megatron. It's always one of my favorite fighting dynamics. So that was definitely my favorite part was those two beating each other up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I enjoyed the fight. I had a feeling that something bad was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened to poor Razor Beast.
Would you like to stand up?
Such a brief stint.
I love him, and he died.
Yeah,
he was so cute.
But then I was like, yeah, I knew this is what the writers were kind of heading towards. Were like, they made a connection, and now Razor Beast is gone, so it's called my switch sides. Especially because all the bullying, because you said Waspinator is not getting picked on, it's because Scold is getting picked on.
But they had even mentioned it previously.
I feel like this
Waspinator and Pterosaur.
This moral mirrors one of the episodes in the Beast Wars series where, like, we see, what's the character's name?
Transmutate?
Yes, Transmutate is the moral, right? They're the innocent that is always harmed in the way, and then the two conflicting factions who are actually friends with them. Change sides, but they like come to like, oh yeah, we should kind of stop, but we're not gonna change our ways.
For sure.
It definitely reflects those morals.
This was definitely less scary though. This didn't give me nightmares.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, this does.
Transmutate left me scarred for my childhood.
I think it left a lot of people scarred.
That was scary.
Myself included. Yeah. I think that made me stop watching as a child. But you know, I didn't finish it.
Hey, man, I powered through, but man, did that leave me with some nightmares.
That was good, good stuff, though. Great morals. Terrifying.
Horrific.
So the Maximals, Nyx, succeed in destroying the transwarp drive on the Predacon ship Darkside, but Rattrap is stuck getting the golden disc. While Maximals and Predacons outside are taking a beating, and some of these are brutal, like Meg's dino face being exploded. Although temporarily, because it got fixed really fast.
Yeah, CR chambers before.
Yeah. Firstly, Nyx is adorable. It wasn't a CR chamber for his face.
It was Tarantula's repairing it quickly.
I guess.
That's what he said. He literally said it.
He did literally say that. I think it's been super interesting how, especially particularly with the Razor Beast and the Scold thing. First of all, what does the human say? I ship it. And then, of course, you're just shattered. Hopes and dreams are just shattered. Yep, taken away immediately. But it's been super interesting to see how all these different personalities and all these different characters react under pressure. And when they're applied with these different scenarios, you know, it was really a coin toss how Scold was going to react to that. And the event perfectly illustrates the outcome of, you know, a tyrannical ruling system where somebody's been bullied and belittled. Eventually, you know, the oppressed are going to find their voice and it's going to be a whole lot louder than it ever was before, which we see with Scold finally breaking and murdering Terrazor.
He deserved it.
And you know, you see him, it was foreshadowed in a couple issues prior when Waspinator questioned him. He was like, you better be careful poking and prodding Scold like that. You know, they could kill you. And Terrasaur responds, that's why I do that, is so that they never learn that they have that ability. Terrible philosophy, by the way. Do not recommend. Not okay.
Awful advice.
Do not. Yeah. To follow that under any circumstances, but it's interesting to see that come to a conclusion and actually be demonstrated by a character in a relatively realistic fashion.
Yeah, he got what he deserved.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
He did deserve it. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm glad that he got a more deserving death in the comics, because in the show, spoiler
in the show, it was kind of bad how he died. Melts. He just got tossed into lava.
And then he's gone. You don't ever see him again. I do appreciate the fact that he got more toys. Kind of cool death. Yeah, that's when we got the trans metals. Which, by the way, I'm interested to see if they're going to do anything with the trans metals.
It would be interesting.
Based on my knowledge by reading all of these issues previous, all the phase 1, 2, 3, 2019, 2005. When a character dies, it doesn't mean they're dead.
That's true.
And as always, there's a little teaser at the end where Tarantulas is playing with Pterosaur's dead body. So
what's he doing?
I'm sure that'll come back later.
I hope it's the transmetals. I hope they're going to like do something where Tarantulas creates the transmetal bodies as opposed to the transwarp energy being the cause of it. I think that'd be really cool. Because we have a transmetal Pterosaur figure, but we obviously never got to see it because he died. Right at the beginning of season 2. So I am very interested to see what Tarantulas is going to be scheming with his little tiny fingers. Rest in peace, Pterosaur.
Rest in peace is Pterosaur.
Whoa!
Insane pieces. Anyway, moving on. As soon as everything goes according to plan, they get trapped and a deal is struck to return the golden disc back to a temporarily repaired Megatron. Quick work there by Tarantulas. No fear, the Maximals are released without the golden disc in exchange, though a certain someone made a copy of it. What are thoughts?
Genius.
What are theories?
Genius!
What a smart absolutely rat. Genius. What a smart rat.
So wonderful.
He's a thieving little man, and gosh, do I love it. He eats garbage, he steals data, he throws hands, he's just a little man.
He's great. They've set him up to be such this cunning, little, mischievous, fun character that is so out of pocket every time that you should expect it, and yet you don't. It's fabulous. I love him. Each character is so unique.
He feels very much like his TV counterpart.
Oh, absolutely. Minus the experience, because in the series, you know, he's a demolition expert, and he was like a secret agent for a while. So it's interesting seeing him.
And his aunt is RC.
Yes, Zan is our pilot. It's interesting seeing him less skilled, but still that same feisty little piece of scrap that we know and love.
Yeah, and I love the callback to the poker game, the card game they were playing. Yes. And when he was like, Optimus had lied to Megatron, blatantly, straight-faced lied to Megatron, and Rattrap was like, I didn't know he had his self-destruct, and Optimus was like, we don't. And he was like, dang, am I going to never play poker with you again? It was wonderful.
Pretty good.
I love the maximal banter.
End of my notes, because we already talked about Dead Pterosaur, and maybe he's back. Dun, dun, dun. Who knows? Is there anything we need to circle back to or any other comments we want to cover before we move to the wonderful, not quick, quick quotes by Clickbait?
Wow.
I've got a single thing I want to circle back on. My single thing. I am a sucker for Dinobot and Rattrap getting that same relationship that they had in the show where they verbally and physically throw hands with each other, but they're besties, whether they want to admit it or not. I love it. I love it so much. Thank you for giving them back to me after so many years. Chef's kiss. That was all. Oh, thank you, Kilo. Yeah, that was you.
I do want to circle back to just a cool design that I saw in the when they're talking about Rattrap. I think it was talking about ancient co-workers of his. No. When Dinobot was talking about the golden disc and when they first found it, they're showing some scientists there, and one of them is Rattrap, which I don't know if that makes sense, or at least looks like Rattrap. But then there's two of them. There's one that looks like Wheeljack.
Wheeljack!
And then there's Wheeljack. One that has, like, fish fins on their face, so it looks like they're an aquatic kind of... And I think that design looks pretty cool. You only kind of see a zoom in of their face, and then their body looks kind of like a robot vehicle. It doesn't really look animal at all. But I thought the fins looked pretty cool.
I can't remember the design off the top of my head, but I have to wonder if it resembles Depth Charge in any way. Because that'd be cool.
That would be cool.
I'm not sure. Because I know he's a manta ray.
Yes, yeah, but he's got the fins on the side of his head. Oh, I don't know. I'll have to look at it later.
Whoever's doing the video can pop them up side by side and
there we go.
Put a big old question mark.
Like they're right here, guys. They're right here.
Can confirm or will not confirm.
Can confirm, will not confirm. Right there. I don't know because I'm not seeing
the one on the left. That's the one. Oh. Yes, that one.
Oh, the you one on it? The left? Yeah. Okay.
Well, actually, the one on the right looks more. Never mind. Moving along. Next one.
I had two things that I wanted to go back to. I did like that the roll call at the beginning of each issue is actually in order of the chain of command. I thought that was super fun. How, you know, you have the Predacons and then you have the Maximals and it just kind of goes
down. You're such a nerd, Clickbait. I love it.
It's a fun little note, and I loved it. And then you have the people who are kind of, you know, science division, or they're brand new. They kind of sit in, like, the middle of the chain of command because they haven't had it figured out yet. I thought it was a really fun little map that kind of trailed down. I loved it. And then the last thing that I wanted to circle back to is when they showcase Cybertron, it's this Beast Wars era Cybertron. And they have this scrolling text on, you know, the building facades and everything. And the text that appears on those is very, very similar to the Cybertronian common that we have seen, you know, that we read currently and that was demonstrated in the 2019 continuity. But it looks like it's slightly modified. Like it would take a lot of enhancement and actual encryption to read it. As if it almost represents like a derived dialect, you know, since this is in the future, it's super cool that they actually kind of took that and then tweaked it to make it look like it's the same but different. So I thought that was really fun.
The same but different. I love that.
I'm probably reading into it, but
two
it was
sides
really fun.
Of the same coin.
Two sides of the same coin, but different.
If you know where that reference is from,
wink.
Go listen to our Q&A for the most recent podcast. Or D&D episode.
Two sides of the same coin. All right.
Are we ready for Clickbait's
low
quick
quotes?
Slow quotes?
This is my favorite part.
I totally forgot that we didn't just do those. All right, let's get into it.
Anyways, my first quick quote comes from issue 7. It is said by Dinobot, and it occurs in the same moment when Dinobot and Primal are sparring. And it's when he says, he's Primal's telling him, okay, I want to feel out where you're at. I want to see what your capacity's at. And Dinobot's like, I'm fine. I've got this. And then he does a move and his right side flares up and he goes, I take it back. I'm done. My damaged body has betrayed me. And I thought that was funny. It was just a fun little blip that he said. And then...
Relatable.
Yeah, right? Relatable. I feel that sometimes. And then the next quick quotes actually all come from the same issue, issue 12. And the first one... Two of them are from Nyx and one of them is from Waspinator. The first one is Nyx against Tarantulas in the engine room or wherever it is, Transwarp Drive housing unit. When she destroys it and she tells him, you're telling me a genius like yourself can't rebuild a transwarp drive from scratch? Gasp! And I could just hear her saying it and it was hysterically. And then Tarantulas comes back with, I'll kill you! Very funny. I loved it. The next, Nyx's entire monologue is, I wanted to add, but I knew Onyx would say something. He'd be like, this is too much. This is not even close to quick anymore. So the next one is...
You're already saying four of them, which was one more than what we agreed on.
What? I don't see four. I see there's three boxes. There's three boxes that have quotes in them. Three boxes
with four quotes in them.
My goodness.
Anyways, the last one is quick. The third one is, did you like my taser? You inspired the upgrade. About now, you're as helpless as I was when you were torturing me. And now that I see you like this, I'm finding it real hard not to kill you. Of course, Maximals don't do that. It's better to leave you like this, undamaged and with no way to explain how you failed to protect Megatron's only way out of time. Think he'll be mad? Me too. Have fun. It was genius. It really showcased where she's coming from. I thought it was fun. The final quick quote is Waspinator versus Dinobot. Waspinator's had his flare up when he was facing off against Megatron. And Waspinator says, the mighty Dinobot, broken beyond repair? That's terrible. But I'm a good friend. I'll put you out of your misery. That one just made me chuckle. Anyways, that's the end of Clickbait's quick quotes.
All right, let's move on to Rodstar rating. Lapis, would you like to take it from here?
Do I get to rate first? Is that what I'm doing?
That is what I'm giving you the option to do.
All right, cool. So, my rating for this section of comics, I'm going to be a repeat of last time. 10 out of 10. 10 rod stars.
We don't do that many.
We don't do 10, Lapis.
What?
We do 10 at the end. We do fives. Best out five.
Fight. 5 out of 5. I'm giving it a five out of five for pretty much the same reasons as before. I'm a Beast Wars nerd. I like how they're doing things. I like the characters. I like the interactions. I like that we're getting new stuff, but we're also getting repeats of old stuff because it gives me joy. It sparks joy. Okay, the serotonin is strong when I read these comics. I love Dinobot.
Don't know what that is.
Okay, well maybe you should try it sometime.
Is that like a organic thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think the humans get it.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Interesting. Kilobyte, would you like to go next?
Yeah. Art is gorgeous as always. I like the introduction of Black Arachnia and how she got her form and, you know, because of tinkering with Tarantulas. And I like the fight at the end, the little jokes with the coach hat and all that. So I think it was a 5 out of 5. I really liked Skuld's backstory, although it's kind of iffy because she hates Maximals because they made fun of her for being a Predacon, but now the Predacons do the same thing. So kind of weird there, but other than that, I really like Razorback. Yeah, well, the thing is she holds a grudge against Maximals because of that, but then the Predacons do it, and then she's, you know.
Well, it's so. Racism versus bullying, right? That.
I guess. But 5 out of 5 rodstars for me.
Join me.
Yeah, I like this one. This one's really good. It takes its time. The characters are like they've expanded more in this one and they're kind of coming into who they are, and they were seeing some really good character development with all the characters. I like the inclusion of more characters. I like the ones that are like who haven't gotten a lot of screen time before. Razor Beast. I mean, still true in this one, but for how short it was. I think it was good. I think I'm going to give this one 5 out of 5.
Clickbait. Join us.
You know, I've been thinking about this the entire time that you guys have been reviewing this, and I actually very thoroughly enjoyed what they did with this and the complex intricacies that they added, and one of the things I really enjoyed is how they demonstrate the pros and cons of psychology and personalities in war, and how it's never one thing. There's always room, like wiggle room. And I thought it was super fun and interesting. Love the characters, love the interactions. They covered a lot. And I actually think I'm also going to have to give this a 5 out of 5 Rod Stars.
Oh my gosh.
Kilobyte, you know what that means?
I really seriously enjoyed this.
The anime wow sound. Is that what the humans end?
Wow.
Yeah. Celebration.
We did it.
All right, we get a round from Swerve, I think, what happens, right?
I
what
wish.
Listeners? What did you think of these comics? How many Rod Stars would you give it? Let us know by leaving a comment below. Lapis, why are you getting so aggressive towards the camera?
It better be 5 out of 5.
What?
Lapis, easy. We don't want to scare off the listeners.
If you would like to get in contact with us, you can send us an email at swervesbarpodcast@gmail.com. That is swervesbarpodcast@gmail.com. So, are you ready for Transformers Beast Wars 2022? Wow, they got added another one? Annual.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Yes. Always ready.
Any toys you guys want to talk about?
Yes. Finally got my Legacy Armada Optimus Prime.
Yes!
It took so long to get here. Oh, man. But I love it. He has a problem with his knees. One of them is sturdier
is it
than
Batman
the other.
Or Disney?
It's the bad knee.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's the bad knee. He has ratchet joints on the knees. And what?
Nothing?
That's a human thing.
He has ratchet joints on his knees, and one of them is a little bit stiffer than the other. So when you try to stand him up correctly, it looks like his knees just caved in inwards in some cases. So it's kind of fun trying to pose him sometimes, because one of them goes too far and the other one doesn't go far enough. And it's just like, ah, oh, man, of course. But other than that, I like it. He's pretty neat. I'm finally happy that I have all the Armada ones.
Lapis?
Okay. I love my wonderful large lad, my Legacy Inferno, my Legacy Beast Wars Inferno. He is absolutely gorgeous. He looks just like the show. He's so cool. His head is such a good mold. My thing is if I remember, yeah, his mouth doesn't open. That is my only issue because I
want
to pose him.
It should open.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
Wait, don't say that to me.
It does. It opens.
Hold on.
He's the only one I'm missing from the Beast Wars line other than Silver Bolt.
It doesn't open.
It does. It should open. Yes, it does open.
No, it doesn't. I'm trying it right now.
His mouth or his robot mouth?
His robot mouth.
It should open.
Oh! Never mind. I take back everything.
You heard it here live, folks.
I take back everything.
When I say live, I'm pre-recording.
Anyways, he's gorgeous. I love him. I love his stupid little hands because it's like not a regular mold for the hands. They're like his little 3-finger claws. And the fact that his mouth opens just really sells the figure for me now. Because I was going to complain about how I can't pose him like that one scene from Beast Wars where he's screaming. But I can.
For the queen.
Oh, my Primus.
For the colony.
You're
for
welcome.
The colony.
Thanks, Kilo. All right, I'm done now.
Clickbait.
I just keep giving. I gave you the comics, now I gave you the toy.
You
look at that.
You really did.
Wow. My favorite, my most recent toy acquisition that I got was actually at one of the latest human conventions that I attended in disguise. It was the G.I. Joe Transformers crossover Megatron Hiss Tank. And
ooh,
that's a whole lot of words for a really cool figure. I love it. It's actually kind of hefty and compact, and I love the box art. It's super cool. And I haven't messed around with it too much, but just taking it out of the box and kind of looking at it, it's a super fun, cool figure.
Fantastic. During the Christmas break, I got a delayed Christmas present from somebody. I got a Beast Wars Transmetal Optimus Primal.
Oh, are you talking like, is it the original or is it a newer version?
It's one of the original ones because it's got the transparent plastic in some areas, and I'm very, very careful about moving it around.
Is it Mr. Blue Monkey Man?
It's Mr. Blue Monkey Man.
Oh, that's
it's
so
Mr.
good.
Mr. Blue Monkey Man.
I'm jealous.
Which the robot face is kind of terrifying.
Yeah,
but a little bit. The gorilla one, I might put it back into gorilla mode. I have it in robot monkey face, and I'm like, it's kind of scary.
He is a little scary.
But I'm scared to transform it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway, no, I do.
Fantastic. I got it as a present because as a child, I got the same exact toy. But as a small child, I was very excited and wanted to do all the things on the cartoon, like fly.
Yeah.
It couldn't do that. I'm coming back to you. Toys don't fly.
Don't you have
well,
wings?
They do at least once. I do. They
oh,
do
my
not.
Promise.
Oh, I see. Oh, it's a yes. toy that can fly. Oh, yeah. I see.
And this thing called gravity brought it back down hard. Anyway, but
that
I haven't.
Always
I have
crushes
a new one.
Everybody's dreams.
Yeah. It really does crush things down. Anyway.
Just pulls them down into the gutter.
Shall we move on?
I think so. If not, Clickbait's going to keep doing gravity puns.
I think you're
I
right.
Will.
Lapis, yes. Do you mind taking us out?
Oh, alrighty. Absolutely. Alrighty, listeners. If you enjoyed this episode, consider sharing it with your friends and subscribing. If you want to help out the show even further, we have started a Patreon. All of the proceeds will go to supporting the show and keeping the lights on. And of course, we have some tiers that offer other forms of gratitude, such as 3D files and entry to our Discord channel, where you can talk to us because we're super cool. Wink. You'll even get early access to our comic review videos a week before their public release, which is super rad. And as always, we hope you all are staying safe out there. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swordsbar Podcast, and even on Tumblr. Yes, with everything going on, Twitter, we figured we should cover our bases. Speaking of which, you can also find us on Twitter at Swordsbar, if that's still a thing. If you're interested in more content, try checking out our spin-off D&D series, Transform and Rollout. Season 3, titled Eons, is out now. Let's tune in to a preview now.
I forgot the question he asked us.
I didn't even ask you to roll to forget yet.
I forgot.
Both of you rolled me a perception.
DM, do I remember how to roll a perception?
I don't know. Roll me a constitution.
I don't want to.
What is it that you want to know?
Everything.
Oh, all right. I'll be sure to ask if he could give you the answer to everything.
I heard it was 42.
So long. Thanks for the cyberfish. Find that out. We don't need that in there. All right.
I have the most impeccable memory.
Well, roll me a con. What a tender
yeah,
moment. Hopefully nothing bad happens.
I'm always here for you.
And nothing bad happens. Yes.
I really needed this, Swolder. Thank you.
What do you mean, yet? Yeah.
Continue.
Okay. So-
How strange. I don't understand why anyone would tune in into such make-believe content. Perhaps it's the voice actors that makes special appearances sometimes. Oh well. Tune into their YouTube channel that has bonus content such as video games containing phony comments, convention videos, and trendy shorts. A link will be provided below. And if you're inclined, check out their Redbubble, where you can get pins, t-shirts, and more, or subscribe to their Patreon to access their Discord and listen to content before it's released to the public. More links will be provided below. End transmission.